Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Arrgh!
Today is March 30th, and this is episode 24, GameBuoy's first annual anniversary celebration spectacular! And also a look at the top 10 April Fool's jokes in the history of games journalism. But before we get to that, let's revisit a few hot topics.
Hot topic is not punk rock.
That's true. First up on the menu, we have news that Phil Fish's controversial masterpiece, in the eyes of some, Fez, will be hitting Steam on May 1st.
I can't help but wonder if that's a response to the whole Xbox bug-fixing kerfluffle.
Which we've spoken about quite a bit here on GameBuoy. As I recall somewhat recently, Phil Fish also indicated that this game would be coming to Ouya down the line. So look forward to that.
Oh yeah, and Ouya should be arriving any day now, speaking of which.
Oh yes, indeed. They started shipping out this week, in fact. They're doing a staggered shipping, so not everyone has theirs on their way yet. I haven't gotten my shipping notification. Have you?
No.
Dope! I was hoping one of us would have it by next
episode. Well, hopefully
episode.
By the next episode of GameBuoy, we'll have some Ouya thoughts to share with you.
Fingers crossed. Further down the agenda, we have the somewhat surprising news that Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two, is getting a PlayStation Vita port.
Okay, so the game that didn't sell well at all is being ported to the handheld console that hasn't sold well at all?
Sounds like a recipe for success.
Yeah, I just saw Epic Mickey 2 for Wii U at Target the other day for $20.
Yeah, I don't think that people are really picking this game up. I don't really know that I think a Vita port is a great idea. But, you know, more Vita software, so I'm always here for that.
I guess so. I guess if you're the one person who has a PlayStation Vita and, like, no other gaming system, then you can finally play Epic Mickey 2.
Yep. This next one, of course, we just really want to point it out to you. The Killer is Dead trailer that we've talked about previously on the show is now up online in English. I highly recommend all of you who are interested in the workings of Grasshopper Manufacturer and Suda Goichi to stop doing whatever you're doing right now. Load up GameBuoy.org and check out the link that we're going to post to this trailer.
But preferably after the show's over.
Yeah, no, I mean, stop what you're doing after this episode. Don't pause this. It's sad. We don't like it.
We had seen the trailer before, but I thought the voice acting was great. Of course, Grasshopper games always seem to be pretty well dubbed. I thought No More Heroes had great dubbing, so I cannot wait. That won't be too many more months from now, so hell yeah.
Yeah. Also, we have Devil Survivor 2, The Extra World, getting a card-battling social game for smartphones.
Forget the year of Luigi. This is the year of Shin Megami Tensei.
Dude, right? I'm really excited for, you know, more Devil Survivor, so I'm definitely going to play this.
I mean, it's just so interesting to see that, you know, obviously the Persona series has had a pretty dedicated following for the past couple years, but it's really interesting to see, you know, like Devil Survivor, most of all, really, what was the overclocked one, or what?
That was Devil Survivor, the first Devil Survivor.
The Overclock, the 3DS one, because...
Yeah, in fact, Devil Survivor 2, We talked about that here on the show somewhat recently. Devil Survivor 2 is getting a 3DS port.
Yeah, actually, telling someone that they should play that. It was actually GameBuoy Heartthrob Matt Kahn from GamerConnect and GamerX. He wanted a game with demons, so I suggested
Devil
that.
Devil Survivor, yep. Definitely. Any other Shin Megami Tensei games. This is a somewhat interesting one. Those of you who have been listening to us for a while now may recall, it's been a little while, but we had reported that Sega was removing...
Sega!
Was removing fan videos made for the Shining Force series off of YouTube. Sega has finally started responding directly to filmmakers, people who are uploading these videos to YouTube, and they're starting now to work with these people who put this content up to get all of these videos back online. They have apologized, and, you know, again, they're trying to work directly with the users to sort of fix this retroactively.
I can't help but wonder if they're trying to just cover their asses because of all the negative feedback they got.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
And also, not to be bitchy, but I don't know if I would call people who just put stuff on YouTube filmmakers.
Yeah, you're just being bitchy. Next up, in answer of my own question from last week, Ron Gilbert has revealed scurvy scalawags in the voyage to discover the ultimate sea shanty, which is apparently a... Wait, is that still
part of the title? A musical match 3 pirate RPG.
I thought that was a descriptor that this Polygon had added to it. Okay, no. So, and in any event, that's a real game. It's a match 3 musical RPG with pirates. We're here for that, but also, that's weird.
And, you know, I was reading, I think it was on Ron Gilbert's blog, that he had wanted to make a, I don't know if necessarily a match 3 RPG, but he had wanted to make a puzzle RPG sort of thing. And he was told, oh, that won't sell. And then Puzzle Quest was a huge success. So this is kind of an idea that he's had, maybe not necessarily Scurvy Scallywags, but he's wanted to make a game like this for a long time. So I think he'll put a lot of heart and soul into it.
Yeah, that's almost certainly going to be a good thing.
And next up is another one from deep in the Game Buoy vaults.
Dragon's Crown is finally going to be coming out in Japan on July 25th. You might recall this was the game...
By Vanillaware.
By Vanillaware, yes. 2D sort of RPG brawler in the style of, like, the Capcom Dungeons & Dragons arcade games. You know, the previous Vanillaware games, Odin Sphere and all that. So I'm really excited for this game. I have been since before the Vita even came out. So I'm really excited for this to finally be hitting.
Another thing that you'll probably be very excited about is that Atlus is working hard on the next Persona game.
And we've known this for a while. This is something that they've sort of commented on off and on for several years now. But, you know, every time it comes up and they confirm that this is still in the works and that they are currently working on a new Persona game, I really like to sort of boost the signal on that and make sure that... you know, this great series gets the attention it deserves. Because no matter how big Persona gets, it will always deserve more attention than it's getting.
Mm.
Those are some serious world-class, triple-A quality games that I really don't think get the love that they deserve.
Yeah, I need to play through Persona 4 Golden. I picked it up for Vita, so I had an actual Vita game to play, but I've been so busy with other games that I just, you know, haven't gotten to it. But Persona 4 was, like, huge... So, I mean, it's going to be exciting to see what they come up with for Persona 5, because, I mean, that's a tough act to follow from all the love and acclaim I hear for it.
I have faith that they'll work it out. They've pretty much made only good games so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, Atlus is pretty top-notch.
Yeah, and I'm specifically thinking of the Persona team guys, because, you know, they also did Catherine, which was an incredible
game. Was by the Persona team?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, next up. Nintendo has lifted the European eShop age restriction. You may recall that we had discussed previously how all 18 and up rated content in Europe could only be purchased during the hours between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. That is no longer the case, which is delightful.
Yeah, it's like eShop after dark.
eShop after dark.
So, yeah, that's good news for our European friends.
Yeah, and for good news for those of us in North America, the HD remakes of Final Fantasy X and X-2 have been confirmed to be coming to North America.
Ha 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 ha.
Further, and I don't know if we talked about this last episode or if this is new for this episode, but The PS3 will be receiving both of these games on one disc, and the Vita will be receiving these games one game per cartridge, so there'll be two separate cartridges. I don't know yet if that means there'll be two separate purchases, but in any event, the confirmation of 10 and 10-2 being in this HD set is something
now,
to be super excited
for. Now, are they
going to
be crossplay?
We don't know yet, but in the original announcement, yes, they did have crossplay.
Or as Kojima-san calls it, transfaring.
Yes, they did have crossfaring in the original announcement, but it's been so long, who knows at this point. Fingers crossed, I hope it does. They do.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, I'd probably only pick it up for PS3, unless there's a compelling reason. Because if I could play, if I could take my Final Fantasy X2...
10-2,
sorry.
If you could take 10-2, go on.
If I could take my save on the road and kick some butt as Yuna, Riku, and Pain, Team YRP, I'm mostly excited for this because 10-2 is getting an HD remaster, and I love HD remasters.
Yeah, I'll probably be picking this up on Vita, just because then on Vita I'll have Final Fantasy 1 through 10-2, and that'll be delightful as shit.
Do you see you'll have Final Fantasy 1 through 10-2?
Yes.
Oh, with all of, like, the PSN,
yeah.
such and such. Okay. That's cool. You have a little Final Fantasy collection.
On the go, wherever I want it to be, yeah. So, I'm really excited about that.
Here's some very potentially exciting news.
Actually, this story has updated since we talked about it, well, when we initially added it to the show roll here. Initially, Capcom had indicated that there was, in fact, a new Mega Man game coming in development, but they weren't ready to talk about it. They have since confirmed, this happened at PAX East this past week, I'm sorry, like 2 weeks ago now, they have since confirmed that there is not a new Mega Man confirmed, just that they are internally still having ongoing discussions about new Mega Man games.
Well, I guess that's better news than no news. Except maybe not, because now that's kind of a CTs. I'm trying to actually censor myself for once.
Yeah, it's probably better news than no news, but only just.
But in better news from Capcom,
Dungeons and Dragons Chronicles of Mystara. You know, we spoke a little bit about this last week when this news of this leaked, but during a panel at PAX East, Capcom confirmed their plans to release this port on the Wii U eShop, Steam, PSN, and XBLA as Chronicles of Mystara. In addition, there's going to be multiplayer online using the GGPO system that a lot of their fighters use. It's like basically the best netcode there is for these kinds of games. They're going to have a house rules system that will let you sort of tune the mechanics of the game. Just in order to play in some interesting ways, includes, you know, dip switch options that used to be available on the arcade ROM. And further, the Wii U version is going to have Wii Pad specific, enhancements.
Definitive version.
I kind of think so. All the versions are going to have online leaderboards, and the Wii U Pad is going to have touchscreen item management.
Are there going to be achievements so I can show everyone how good I am at the game?
Actually, yes.
Well, wonderful. Except Wii U doesn't have achievements, do they?
No, so actually, it's not the definitive version, I guess.
Nope, Xbox 360, because that's how I can show everyone I beat the game.
In less awesome news, Phantasy Star Online 2 has been delayed in North America, confirmed by Sega.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset. Obviously, we all kind of knew that this was coming. It was scheduled initially for a Q1 2013 release. We hadn't heard anything toward the end of March, but still, to see it in black and white is always a bit of a downer.
Yeah, but I mean, at least it's still on its way, hopefully, most likely.
Now, in huge, gigantic news, at GDC this week, Phantom Pain has finally been announced officially to be Metal Gear Solid 5. We all knew this to be the case. It's not news, it's not a surprise exactly, but it's still pretty darn special to hear it announced. And, somewhat more interestingly, Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes is still a new and separate game. Most interestingly, they both appear to share the branding of Metal Gear Solid 5, with Ground Zeroes being the prologue to the main game of The Phantom Pain.
Interesting. I mean, when this first hit the internet, there was some confusion, and people thought that Ground Zeroes was just...
Yeah, some people don't know how to read.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be rude, but to me it was very clear. I feel like, you know, in a lot of the more informed gaming forums, people were right on the spot, like, no, these are two different games. But then you looked at some lesser informed forums, and people were assuming it was the same game. So, nope, just two games sharing the Metal Gear Solid 5 banner. In a related note, for the first time, it has been confirmed that David Hayter will not be voicing Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid 5. I am somewhat dubious of this announcement. You know, Hayter was tweeting about it, and nobody at Konami, no, like Hideo Kojima, who tweets all the time, none of these guys had anything to say about it, just Hayter tweeting away about QQQQQQQQ. Just complaining that he was not the voice of Metal Gear, or of a Solid Snake. It seems very likely to me that Kojima is manipulating our expectations and that Hayter will be involved in some way.
Well, now, see, I thought this... And I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the entire chronology of the Metal Gear series, but I thought that this was supposed to take place around the time of Naked Snake. But did Hayter still do the voice of Naked Snake?
Yes.
Okay, so that's interesting.
So I think that this is another one of Kojima's media manipulations. You know, he seems to do them around pretty much every Metal Gear game, and I think that this one is related to David.
So Hayter. You're saying that Kojima is trolling us?
I believe so.
He's Kojima-ing us.
I believe he is Kojima-ing us. Kojima being a verb in this context.
Yes.
Let's see, next up.
Project vs. J is no longer called Project vs. J because it's officially titled J-Stars Victory Versus and has four players fighting each other in the 3D tag teaming brawler.
Excellent. You know, also, Naruto has finally been confirmed as a playable character, although admittedly from some of the earlier screenshots it was very clear that Naruto was going to be involved. Still, always nice to see.
Yeah, isn't Naruto still, for some reason, super popular?
Naruto's still actually pretty good. The manga is, so...
Oh, just not the anime. Well, at least not the dub. Hey, guys, he's Sasuke. Believe it! Ah!
But, yeah, I'll admit, I already have attitude about dubbed anime. And Naruto is really badly dubbed. But... the manga's super good. I'm a huge fan. I buy every Tonkoban as it comes out in the U.S.
You have the Ultimate games.
Oh, yeah, all of them. And I have, you know, most of the series on DVD, so fun. As I'm telling you all of this, I'm starting to feel really embarrassed about it because I am a grown man who watches Naruto.
Believe it! And it's something that I can't believe.
I'm just going to die after this episode. GDI.
And something I can't believe, in spite of their strong sales, Tomb Raider Sleeping Dogs and Hitman sold below Square Enix's expectations.
Yeah. This was a big news story this week. I'm not gonna nail the hammer in any deeper. Like, y'all probably already have an opinion on this. I just want to point out, Sleepy Dogs moved 1.75 million units in the, like, 6 months it's been out.
Did you call it Sleepy Dogs?
Yes, that's what we call it on the internet.
Oh, I didn't know that. It sounds really cute.
Yeah, it really does. That's why we all call it that.
I'm like, aw, Sleepy Dogs.
Hitman Absolution, which was in November, so just, what, like, 4 months ago, moved 3.6 million. Tomb Raider, released this month, has moved 3.4 million.
And that's not even counting for digital sales. And none of these figures
take into account digital sales. So I'm going to propose that probably these games were not money losers, and all y'all pulling every person working for your studio in Japan to work on Final Fantasy Flopteen is probably a bigger problem for you, Square Enix.
Wait, what is Flopteen? Is that...
I was talking about 14.
Oh, okay.
You know, the game where they've had it shut down for like a year and they've just been feeding money and money and money into it as they've pulled every development member from like every other team to work on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like that has to cost hella money.
Do you mean Versus 13 or 15? Or Lightning Returns.
See, I wouldn't shade any of those because I think all of those games look great. But 14, which I also think looks great, and I will also pay to play when it comes out. But to me, like, no, Sleepy Dogs did great. Like, this is a no-name IP that's moving millions of units. Hitman Absolution, there hadn't been a new Hitman game in forever. It comes to the market, moves hella million units. Tomb Raider, again. Like, you look at the most recent Tomb Raider game before that, like, it's already done, like, double the lifetime sales of that game. And it's only been out for, like, 3 weeks. So y'all need to calm your tits, get your house in order, and don't drop the blame on these really great games that have done really well in the marketplace. I just had a little rant.
You did.
In related news, Square Enix president Yoichi Wada-san has stepped down and is resigning.
Effective end of June, I believe.
Yes. Yosuke Matsuda will now be serving as president after that point. He is currently the representative director at Square Enix.
Well, we'll see if Matsuda-san can usher in a new era for Square Enix where we don't have Final Fantasy flop teams on our hands.
Yeah, watch. This is going to be a new era of social games.
Mobile RPGs.
Yes.
With $40 microtransactions. And Kotaku complaining all the way.
Pretty much. Please look forward to it. And we are finally nearing the end of our follow-ups for the week. Grasshopper Manufacturer, who we were just talking about not 5 minutes ago, had announced that they were acquired by Gung Ho Online Entertainment back in February, which we talked about here. And we already know that Grasshopper is working with Kadokawa Games and XSEED on the Killer is Dead game. There is another action game in development. The title hasn't been announced yet, and all they've shown so far is a few pieces of concept art. But the thing that gets real interesting here is that when you look at this art, there's a few really striking pieces of art, one of which shows a white-haired woman with soft pink lips and dark skin, covering her face with an umbrella, holding a katana at her side. Those of you who are just thinking about that description may call to mind the No More Heroes character Shinobu. And looking at this woman's hair, that looks like Shinobu's haircut. So this is leading a lot of people online to think that this might very well be a No More Heroes spinoff or sequel of some kind. Ultimately, we won't really know until Grasshopper says something, but I have my fingers crossed that we'll be getting news on that pretty soon.
Interesting.
And last, but most certainly not least, the CEO over at Crytek USA has indicated that they are interested in placing a bid for the Darksiders IP in relation to the THQ IP auctions. You may remember that Crytek hired on a team of developers formerly from Vigil Studios, who made the Darksiders. I always do that. The Darksiders games. Destructoid, whom we'll be linking on GameBuoy.org, has confirmed that Crytek USA is interested in making a bid on this. So fingers crossed, hopefully that goes well. I'd prefer, even still, to see this IP end up over at Platinum Games. But if Platinum can't have it, I guess it should go to the people who made it in the first place.
Oh, come now.
I'm just happy to see that it's going to live on. I was a huge fan of Darksiders 2, and I'd love to see them expand further on those gameplay ideas.
Yeah, it's nice to see that apparently Servette Yearly has had a change of heart. So it seems.
I don't know who that is by name, but yes.
It's the Crytek CEO. Remember we had a laugh over being unable to say his name properly, most likely.
Yes, we did. Well, I think it's time for...
News. 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 Oh my god, news.
First up for you today, we have Team Fortress 2 being pegged as the Oculus Rift's first official game.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, originally it was supposed to be Doom 3, but there were some problems one way or another. Doom 3 ultimately wasn't going to be ready for prime time by the time the Oculus Rift starts shipping. So now it's going to be Team Fortress 2.
Cool.
You know, I think that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to playing this. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on an Oculus Rift, I have to be honest. The more I read about this thing, the more special it sounds, and I start really thinking about how much I'd like to play something like Bioshock Infinite on it.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So I'm totally here for Oculus Rift. I'm not a huge fan of Team Fortress 2 exactly. Like, it's cool.
It's fun.
I like it. It's just, but again, for me, it's a time waster. It's not really something I go
it's
out
like,
of
oh,
my
hey,
way
let's,
to play.
Let's go on and have a couple
sandwiches.
Couple sandwiches. I was gonna say have a couple rounds of Team Fortress, but you guys have some sandwiches and medics.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. But still, Oculus Rift, any news is good news. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
and
that's great news.
I'll probably play some Team Fortress 2 on it, so yay.
Now, speaking of resignations, which is kind of
yes.
Stepping time back into Watazan, the CEO of Electronic Arts, John Ricciatiello? Am I saying
think,
that right?
I think so.
John Ricciatiello is resigning... And let's see. Oh, what just happened with EA lately? Oh, SimCity. And you know, the thing is that we might poke fun at EA a lot, but
I generally actually think
EA
I'm generally a fan. Like
generally does pretty well.
They do some awful things. They always have, but I really do think they've come a long way since the you know, EA spouse and all of that.
Yeah. And one thing that's interesting, but I mean, I guess not surprising, is that Ricciatiello, in his resignation letter, said that he was driven by the accountability for the shortcomings in our financial results this year. So, not directly addressing the whole debacle with SimCity, but, you know, he's just saying, oh, it's time for new leadership to take the reins, and, you know, hopefully that means good things to come from EA, maybe some EA at E3, but yeah, this is one we'll have to follow.
Yeah, this it'll be interesting to see where that ends. Next up, we have news that Final Fantasy V is coming to iOS in Japan this month. Actually, though, it's out now, so when I updated the show roll here, it wasn't up yet back in earlier in March, but it is now at least in Japan, so I guess look forward to it.
You know, the funny thing is that our dear friend Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and Horde House and Reading is Fundamental, he posted a screenshot on Twitter earlier today of, I guess he's doing a playthrough of Final Fantasy V, and he's like, everybody renames the characters in Final Fantasy V, right? And it was a screenshot that said Butts. Like, as the name, like Bart, you know, Batsu.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because the first fan translation I ever played of V, he was just named Butts because Batsu. So. Yeah, I mean, anyway, I guess it officially came out on the 28th. It is priced at $15.99, which, you know, on one hand, that's a lot of money. But on the other, it's a great game that is totally worth, you know, $15.99. I will probably buy it and be excited to be playing it.
So you'll look forward to that.
Yes. I am.
Another thing you're looking forward to, I'm sure.
Girl, you got ahead of me. I'm not looking at my notes. Girl. Okay. Oh yeah, this one. I am super excited for this one. Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut has been announced for Wii U. The game's going to be coming out in May, early May, and Straight Right is developing it. You
now,
might be
the ones who did,
familiar with their work from Mass Effect 3 for Wii U.
And I heard that was a pretty competent port.
I thought it was a great port. I was very happy with it. So I'm pretty happy for this. You know, since I added this news to our show notes, they've even announced a little bit more. It's going to have all of the DLC extra content integrated into the game's storyline. You know, that was sort of a hot point, sort of niggling with players of the original release, was that the Missing Cut DLC was played out of sequence for where it belongs in the storyline.
Hmm.
That'll no longer be the case. On the Wii U version, it's going to be integrated where it's appropriate in the storyline, which I actually think is super exciting. Furthermore, and if you've played the previous games, this is actually going to be real big, cool news to you probably. They're redesigning all of the boss fights. There was a lot of ire and scorn thrown at the direction of the original release of this game, because it was very easy to build a stealth or like hacking, or just have a build for your character that isn't combat focused. And then you'd get to these bosses that required just straight up combat, and you'd be completely unable to pass because the way the game was designed, you had to have some combat focus. And for these new designs, they're designed specifically to be done stealthily or using your hack tech stuff.
Excellent. I always support more choice given to the gamer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely more in the design philosophy of the original Deus Ex game. Well, games, kind of. So, you know, in a very real way, even though it is like a late port for Wii U, which sucks, I'm actually going to buy it because it really does sound like the definitive version that they're making worthwhile content changes to.
Lovely.
It's not just new armor or a new aiming method. Looking in the general direction of Batman Arkham City.
Nice.
Yeah. Firaxis, known for the Civilization series and XCOM last year, which we talked about quite a bit here on Game Buoy, is doing an iOS game called Haunted Hollow.
Whoa.
Yeah, it looks very ghostly. It looks like it's going to be some kind of microtransaction game with strategy elements, maybe. I don't know. I'm here for it. It's spooky, and I like spooky stuff.
Joystick describes it as the gameplay will involve players ruling a haunted mansion, which spawns creatures of the night that they send forth to bother townsfolk.
I'm actually super here
that
for that.
That sounds so cute.
That's definitely in my wheelhouse. So, and, you know, it's going to be free to play. So, I mean, microtransactions, but free.
I think I see little werewolves in the screenshot, which means
definitely here for
which
that.
Means a buddy of ours and fellow Civilization freak is going to be all over
which
this.
Which one? I know two people that fits. This is big news, big ass news. Do you want to take this? Because I know you're really excited about this.
Well, you know, sometimes life is like a hurricane.
Really? Here?
No, in Duckburg. You know,
race cars,
lasers, airplanes. Of course, we're talking about the news that almost made me cry tears of joy.
Girl.
Capcom revealed, along with the great news about Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystara, I'm sorry.
I'm like, girl, you do not know. Mystaria, are you serious?
Mr. Pandaria.
Anyway, get to the point.
They announced DuckTales Remastered. It is being developed by WayForward.
Yes!
Of course, who you might remember from Game Buoy favorite, Shantae.
Ooh, Shantae, you stay.
Yes. And now it's going to have some changes, obviously. One of the most notable ones being hand-drawn sprites, which, of course, allows for Uncle Scrooge's correct colors, which it never bothered me that his coat was red in the Capcom
version. Yeah, it never
version.
Bothered me at all.
It's going to have voice acting.
Okay, but most exciting, a money bin you can actually swim in.
Now, something that's kind of interesting,
too. You can't see me out there in Radioland, but I'm doing flappy gay hands.
He was doing flappy gay hands. He was. I was, too. And something that's interesting is that there are going to be some changes. Like, I think one of the things they said is that the, like, nephews are going to play, like, a little bit bigger role instead of just kind of popping up in levels. They're adding a level because you had to go do the haunted house one, like, three times in the original game. And so you only have to do it once, and there's going to be a new level. But the good news is that those are all options that can be turned off so that the gameplay resembles the original. Because I didn't realize that the original was considered very difficult.
It's generally looked at as a somewhat hard game, yeah? A lot of those older Capcom games are, even when they were not actually that hard, in my
opinion. That's interesting, because I always had no problem with it, but... obviously, this is huge, 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 huge news for us. You know, you might have remembered we talked about the Capcom Disney games when we talked about underappreciated gems and some of the other things. And the thing that's exciting about this is that, you know, nobody's saying this, like, for sure, but what everyone's kind of getting the impression of is that
if
this does well...
Capcom officials have several times indicated that if this does well, it would obviously be prudent to look at further... you know, adaptations.
And
of
I think
their
someone, I don't
games.
Remember if I was looking on Capcom Unity or somewhere, but somebody was saying that
the two that I have seen name dropped were Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers
and
Darkwing Duck.
When in trouble, you call DW. Which were both really, really good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Those were both incredible.
If we got remasters of those,
dude, I would die.
My heart's a flutter thinking about it.
Anyway, moving forward.
It's something a little more left of center.
Would you like to take this one?
Sure. Japan is embarking on a new a new Etrian Odyssey this June. And you know, we just got Etrian Odyssey 4. I mean, not we as in Game Buoy. I don't have it yet. But,
I do.
I hear it's really great.
Yeah, it's super good.
Japan is getting New Etrian Odyssey Millennium Girl. It's a 3DS reimagining of the original Etrian Odyssey.
Yeah, you know, part of why this is really exciting to me, I like the Etrian Odyssey games a lot, but this Millennium Girl game, they're going to be sort of giving you pre-made characters, but you can still customize them, but they'll have personalities and a story. And it's basically going back to the first Etrian Odyssey game and fleshing it out as a story, but still keeping the cool gameplay intact.
Nice.
I think that's cool. I think that's a really good way to do remakes. I think that's a really good way to sort of, you know, now that this series is way more popular than it was when the first game originally came out, I think this will make the first game a lot more accessible to people now.
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Cool, cool, cool. And Famitsu says that will be out in Japan on June 27th.
Woot, woot.
This one was an interesting little story.
Yeah, so there's a new Vita game. It was shown among Sony's announcements at GDC last week. And this game is called Metrico. And in short, it's basically a game about infographics, where... Huh. You're interacting with infographics as, like, platforms and stuff. There's a trailer for it over at Joystick. We're going to link it on GameBuoy.org. I can't really explain to you what I've seen, what this trailer looks like.
But, I like infographics.
But load it up. Yeah, I love infographics. Infographics, charts, graphs. Like, I'm here for that. I love, love, love graphs and infographics. And just this trailer, it's like, yes, I will play that so hard. Thank you, Vita, for having a game like this.
Next up,
Poppo and Yo will be coming to Steam on April 18th. You might be familiar with this game, which was inspired by creator Vander Caballero's...
Caballero?
Yes, that. life experience dealing with his own struggles... his struggles with parental abuse and alcoholism.
Wow.
So yeah, this was like a real serious game. I don't think it got nearly enough credit or support when it came out for PlayStation last year. I'm really, really, really looking forward to this game getting more exposure and really people praising this game. Like, I really hope that this game does super well because it's a work of art. Like, this game is art, in my opinion. It's heavy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely... it's important for games to tell stories like that.
Yeah, I definitely strongly agree. I specifically want you to take this next news story.
Okay, so Brendan Romero, who is... I have to look at what this stands for. She resigns from the International Game Developers Association because of a GDC party. Do you know what happened at this GDC party?
I can guess.
At least three girls in white outfits. One was in a skimpy t-shirt. One was in this weird furry get-up dancing. There were women in stilts, on stilts, dancing around the crowd.
Well, basically, there was a lot of really great discussion at GDC about the one reason to be panel, the hashtag one reason why, and just all of this really incredible work on the women in games movement, which obviously we here at GameBuoy, this is like one of the things that we are most concerned with going on right now in games. And basically there was the official party for the International Game Developers Association at GDC had paid girls wearing skimpy clothes and dancing.
Yeah, that's...
It just really... It's cool to have a party, but you don't need to pay girls to dance for your party goers. This is very sad. It's very unpleasant. And Brenda Romero, who does great things, she has a lot of really brilliant things to say. She resigned. Which sucks. You know, she is like one of their big co-chairs. Like, she's an important person over there. And she's out. Like, she's out. And we are all lesser for it. So, whoever made this choice, these women, paying them to dance at your party, like, honestly, you should feel shame right now. I hope you regret that. And yeah. I hope that in the future, you can be more sensitive and more inclusive.
Think about the consequences of your actions.
Yeah, seriously.
I was going to make a consequences will never be the same joke, but this is not something I like to joke about.
Yeah, well, there are a few things. Like, I'll make jokes about most things, but the way women are treated in games is just really gross. And I try not to joke about that because it's awful. It is just awful. Sort of opening my mouth and inserting my foot, the next thing I'm going to talk about is the game Skullgirls. But the exciting news here, there was a... a Indiegogo project for Skullgirls. For some reason, I cannot get that name straight.
You wanted to say school?
Yes,
you,
I wanted
like
to
skull,
say...
Like Skullgirls?
Yes. They were taking donations from the fan community to basically make a new character. It's going to be getting five new characters because so much money was donated. So, I don't talk about Skullgirls a lot, and I think that's largely because I'm not super into the way it plays. I love 2D fighters. I own Skullgirls. Something about it doesn't really click right for me. But when these new characters hit, one of which is going to be the first male character in the game, I'll definitely take another look and try to get back into it.
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
This is just a real quickie. The director of the Zero Escape games, Kotaro Uchikoshi, confirmed that the third game in the Zero Escape series is going to be taking place in between 9 Hours, 9 Persons, 9 Doors, and Virtue's Last Reward. We've talked about these games a lot here on GameBuoy, and I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about the third game as it news gets closer to its release.
Huh.
Next up, Super Roboto Tyson OE has been announced for the PSP.
Huh.
As an episodic download. You'll be able to get the first chapter for about $5.30. After that, each chapter will be an additional $10.60. Altogether, the game is going to be about $80 in pieces, but if you buy them all in a complete game pack, it will be $74. I am, of course, using US dollars rather than yen because we are not in Japan.
And I bet Kotaku would complain about the price of this if they actually knew what this was.
They probably know what it was. At least Ashcraft. They're probably going to buy it. Why are you laughing? I'm serious. He lives in Japan.
I know he does.
I love the Super Roboto Tyson games. This game specifically is going to have Gurren Lagann in it. It's going to have Code Geass in it. It's going to have Gundam 8th MS Squad. It's going to have G Gundam. It's going to have Macross F. So this specific game, if I can find a way to buy it, I'm gonna. Because I'm here for that roster.
Last but certainly not least on our news roll today.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Sengoku Basara 4 has been announced for PlayStation 3 next year.
I know
year.
Wicked over at Nerdgasm Network will be very excited for that.
Yes, in fact, you know, I've already commented on his Facebook about it.
That's cool news.
All we really know so far is that it's going to be an early 2014 release on the PlayStation 3. I'm not really expecting it to come out to be released in North America, but fingers crossed, maybe Capcom will surprise us.
True. And as far as Musou games go, I hear that those are some of the better ones.
I like them. You know, I like Musou games. I didn't used to, but they have really grown.
Did One Piece Musou change your tune on it?
It was sort of a combination of One Piece Musou and Hokuto no Ken Musou to Ken's Rage.
Oh, that was on the Wii U eShop, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Great game. You know, I mean, Hokuto no Ken Musou 2 is not, it's not super, super good. But One Piece Musou is actually, like, super good. I really, really liked it. So, I never did pick up Sengoku Basara 3. Maybe I'll look up a copy of that as soon as we finish recording tonight.
Cool.
With that, I think it's time to move on to our discussion.
This will be a fun one.
Game Buoy's Top 10 April Fool's Jokes in the History of Games Journalism. Are you ready for this?
I was hoping you would keep going.
No, because that joke isn't funny anymore.
Big Mouth strikes again.
Oh, man, we are just all over the place tonight. Whatever, it's April Fool's. Oh, wow, funny enough, Wicked just commented on my post on his wall about Sengoku Basara 4.
What does he have to say?
Just yes, 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 yes.
That many yeses?
Yes, that many yeses.
So let's hear these April Fools. Let's school these fools on April Fools.
First up.
Note, we don't actually think you're fools.
And we're not going to do these in like, graded order. We're just going to read them off.
Yeah, we generally don't do that.
In no particular order, of course, was EGM's. And you're going to notice that EGM did, like, half of these or more. And that's because EGM was really reliable year in, year out. Great April Fool's jokes. And a couple of them that actually influenced the industry in some really interesting ways. Probably, those of you who were listening at home, but probably just shouted out Shenlong, maybe. Because, you know, Ryu and Ken's... Sensei Shenlong, who is now a part of the Street Fighter canon under the name Goken, was originally included in the 1992 EGM April Fool's joke. But we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that. First up was the 1991 EGM April Fool's joke, Simon Belmont as a playable character in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game for NES. you know, it ran. I have this issue. I still have a copy of it in that dresser over in that corner. It's really funny because the doctored screenshot they used looked really convincing. Like, as a kid, I thought this must be real. The code to input was so long and awful that I just was convinced that I was entering it wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
And really, you know, super amusingly, The next month, EGM promised that they'd never pull a similar joke again. And right next to that claim, posted an image of Battletoads in the NES version of Double Dragon, which was meant as a tongue-in-cheek joke about, like, oh, we'll never do this again as they're doing it. Except then Trade West / Rare actually made Battletoads in Double Dragon.
Life imitating art.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? And which brings us, of course, to number two, which was Shang Long in Street Fighter II, which was EGM's 1992 joke. You know, this is probably, like, the most known of all the April Fool's jokes in the history of games journalism. But EGM had claimed that if you could get through Street Fighter II, like, all the way, which, keeping in mind that the CPU in that game cheated so hard as you got on toward, like, the last four characters, you know, Balrog, Vega, Sagat, and Bison, like, they're, like, awful. Like, they cheat, and they're mean, and they do hell of more damage than they should.
Well, yeah, they're bad guys.
That's like the best answer. But EGM claimed that if you got through all 11 characters without taking a hit, and then you got 9 draws in a row versus Bison, which obviously, like, that's not even possible, but whatever, that then the player could supposedly fight against a special character named Shang Long, who was said to be Ryu and Ken's sensei. And, you know, this is the thing here is, and this text isn't included in our show notes, but the indication was that Shang Long would come out and beat Bison up, and then you'd fight him instead. Those of you who are thinking about this, of course, might remember that that's how Akuma has come out and made his appearance in Super Street Fighter II. Like that, it's basically like that, how you unlock Akuma, like basically doing that. So Capcom definitely took a lot of inspiration from this April Fool's joke, both in the introduction of Akuma to the canon, and again, like I was just saying a minute ago about Goken getting introduced into the canon as a playable character.
You almost
character.
Said Goku, didn't you?
I did. But he even looks like the doctored image of Shang Long that EGM had run.
Interesting.
Also interesting is that a lot of the things that EGM had run in the set of doctored images that they had for Shang Long, it was like a dragon punch with his fist on fire, which ultimately Ken does now, a red fireball, which obviously Ryu does now. So Capcom is very specifically was influenced by that April Fool's joke.
Wow.
Next up, of course, was in EGM in 1998. Ran a all bonds cheat for GoldenEye 007 for the Nintendo 64. You know, this cheat, it was said to unlock 3 of the actors who had played James Bond previously as playable characters in versus mode, and that's Connery, Moore, and Dalton for those of you who are Bond aficionados. The really funny thing is, you know, this was an EGM April Fool's joke, but later it was found that all bonds was a thing that really existed in the code of the game. And using GameShark, you could access that option and see photos of these actors in the game.
Oh, wow.
You couldn't select them. The models were, like, taken out. But it's, like, almost like a, what was that, hot coffee type scenario.
Oh.
Where the content was removed, but not all of the files. Like, some of the files were still there.
Where Sean Connery and Timothy Dalton were having a sexual mini game with each other.
Oh, man. I'd watch that. I don't care. Yes, okay, I'm a pervert. I'd watch that. Next up, of course, Super Smash Bros. Melee's Unlock Sonic and Tails code in EGM 2002. I don't really know that I need to explain why this is relevant. Because, you know, Sonic is in Smash Bros. Now.
Yeah.
This one is one that's only interesting because of where things are now. In 2005, EGM ran a story that pre-ordering Twilight Princess would get them a free Zelda disc, which sounds, looking at it now, like Nintendo wouldn't give away a free Zelda disc, except they totally did at one point give away a free Zelda disc with previous Zelda games on it for GameCube.
One.
Yeah, I have a copy of it in the other room.
That came with Wind Waker, I think.
That was, I think, with Wind Waker, yeah. And the here it was saying that, you know, Wind Waker with updated graphics would be coming with Twilight Princess pre-orders. Which is interesting to me now because we are, in fact, getting Wind Waker with updated graphics.
Well, of course, this was in addressing all the backlash that that Wind Waker got when it was revealed.
Not really, because at this point, Wind Waker was already a couple years old when this April Fool's joke was made. Like, that controversy had come and gone, because this was for Twilight Princess, this promotion was claimed.
Uh-huh, I see. I just always kind of thought it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure that it was to some degree, but for why it's interesting in the context of looking back here and now is that is totally a thing that's happening. Next up, of course, and this is obviously one that's really near and dear to my heart, and it's also the end of the EGM articles, was in 2007 when they ran a story on Mushroom Kingdom Hearts.
Which, when you just hear it, you're like, okay, that's gotta be fake, but...
Yeah.
I would love to play Mushroom Kingdom Hearts.
Dude, I would play it all damn day. I remember seeing this article and this artwork, and I knew immediately that it was fake, because it's clearly art from Super Mario Sunshine that has been, like, edited so that he's holding a keyblade rather than having, like, a nozzle.
Flood
on his back. So I knew, like, there's no way that either Square Enix or Nintendo would have just reused assets for, like, an announcement. Like, that's just not how either of those companies roll, especially in 2007.
But still cute.
But still, that's the one that really stung me. Like, most of these other April Fool's jokes, like, when I read them, I was like, oh, that's really cool. But then when I found out it was April Fool's joke, it was like, okay, well, that sucks, but that's funny at least. In this one case, I was like, you bitches. Like, you really got my hopes up for 30 seconds. Like, before I thought about it, I was very excited. So, that's really cool. The next one up is Pokemon Kart. This was run by 1UP.com in 2010. The really funny thing is, I've heard people talk about how awful the mock-up graphics are in the artwork that went up with this article. I thought it looked totally believable as, like, a DS game. Like, I totally believed for 20 minutes at least until I realized what day it was. I really believed that we were going to be playing a freaking Pokemon Kart Racer, and I was hell of excited.
And do you know what they did instead? Pokemon Dash.
Ew. Yeah, I'm not really here for that. You might want to talk about this next one. I'm pretty sure this is one you watched.
It was, and the funny thing is that I never fell for it, but a lot of people did it. We are talking, of course, about the live-action Zelda movie that IGN showed a trailer for, and it was cute. But, you know, I knew it wasn't real, and I don't know. What do you remember about it? Did you think that it was... I knew that. I was like, no, Nintendo would never do that after what happened with the Super Mario Brothers movie.
You know, the thing is, I don't believe if a Zelda movie were getting made that we wouldn't know about it way before there was a trailer for it.
Yeah.
And that was really, it was only the plausibility of it that really, for me, didn't let the idea sort of take root. Because I have to say, watching the trailer, even now, like, it's actually a really well-produced trailer.
It is.
It looks good. I could definitely see how people did fall for it, because they must have spent a little bit of money on making that. But, you know, again, it's just I couldn't get past the logistical issue of if this were real, we would have heard about it before there was footage of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is, for me, I was like, you know, Nintendo would never be behind that. First of all, because of the flop that was Super Mario Brothers, the motion picture. Secondly, Link is not supposed to be a character who talks and such. But, I mean, I guess that didn't stop them from making a cartoon. Excuse me, princess. But, I mean, those were different days for sure.
Did you ever read any of the comic books that they made based on that cartoon?
No.
They were awesome and awful.
Ah.
Like, simultaneously. Because, like, okay, so it's that same sort of alt-canon It's very silly. It's very like, oh, we have bags that shrink our items so that we can carry all these items everywhere.
Like taking things very literally.
Yeah, yeah. But it also...
Did the fairies still have the hugest crush on Link?
I don't remember that really being a thing as much.
That was
I remember that at times they got a little dark with Ganon. Oh. There were a couple stories that were focused primarily on Ganon that I really liked. Except,
instead of like in the cartoon where it was just so ridiculous and like, no, you fools, punch them like this. Ha, ha, ha.
Girl.
That was actually a thing he did.
What you just did upset me. You might need to leave my apartment now.
AKA Game Buoy Studios.
Yeah, I mean, you might need to leave the SS Game Buoy right now.
Nope, because it's time to talk about...
You know, I'm including this one because of when it was in time, in 2000, Super Mario 128 Central ran a story about Luigi being playable in Mario 64. And the thing is, even though everyone on the internet with an ounce of sense was sure that Luigi wasn't playable in Mario 64... this site ran what at the time was like incredibly convincing, doctored screenshots. And you know, in 2000, like not just everyone had Photoshop and could do any old thing in image editing. Like these looked like super high, like it looked like someone actually had Luigi in the game. So, you know, we all kind of fell for it and everyone was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Obviously, unfortunately, we didn't get to play as Luigi in Mario 64 until Mario 64 DS came out.
I have something to say that's not related to this
joke. It's better to burn out than to fade away. I'm sorry, go on.
I saw this great photo set on Tumblr of screenshots from Mario 64 DS. About any time Luigi would run into a toad, they basically talk about how he's inferior to Mario. They're like, oh, yes. Mario, why are you dressed in green? Like, they just threw the bitchiest shade. I was like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, that was
I don't think I ever unlocked Mario. I just remember that Yoshi was the first character that you played as.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I actually liked that port a lot. I would love to see it revisited with proper analog control on 3DS as an eShop download.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Also, I just sent you a message on Facebook. So, I guess that about wraps it up for our top 10 April Fool's jokes in the history of gaming journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent him the links of the pictures of Luigi in Mario 64, and you know, you look at them now and it's like, okay, yeah, no, that's clearly fake. But, you know, 13 years ago, like, it was very easy to fall for those.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's it, unless you have anything to add?
No, I think we're ready to start talking about...
I said, hey, what's going on?
Playing.
Oh, are you serious? What are you playing? So, I spent most of my time this week playing Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate.
Big surprise.
I know, right? That game has not even been out for 2 weeks yet, and I've put in like 40 plus hours.
I've put in probably like 6 to 8 hours.
Which is still a lot for you.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. I love it. I haven't really played it on Wii U yet. I picked it up on Wii U and 3DS.
It's not bad. I prefer it on 3DS.
I rolled a character. I didn't, and then deleted it because, you know, obviously I have to have no characters on it. But I just wanted to see how it controlled, and it seems cool. I just, for me, I'm more of a portable gamer for something that's a real time sink like that, because then I can play it on my commute on my way to work every day. So I play mostly on the 3DS. I'm already on, you know, I'm moving up to the higher ranks at this point and just doing hunts and doing lots of gathering and frankly loving
it.
I was playing Dungeons and Dragons today, and every time I wasn't actively rolling dice, I was playing Monster Hunter. I'm sure it irritated my DM to know, and I don't care. I love Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I have to say that at first I was like, oh, I'm doing chores for the town. It's kind of boring. But then when I was able to do quests, guild quests for the Hunter's Guild, I was like, okay, this is legit.
Yeah, it's, you know, it, and it's not for everyone, but for, it is for me. you know, it, I just really enjoy hunting. The game is real skill-based. Like, you're not just straight, like, getting experience points and grinding in order to overcome enemies. Like, no, you overcome enemies by learning how to overcome enemies.
And one thing that I really like about the game that I don't feel like a lot of people are talking about is the writing. I think it's... The writing's super cute and funny.
It's cute. Sometimes I'm like, okay, you're being a little too precious right now. But for the most part, I do really like it.
Like when the cats say, oh, I'm going to do something, write meow.
Okay, yeah, no, I love that.
Ah, me too.
The other one I'm playing right now is BioShock Infinite.
Yes!
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about the plot or anything because it only just came out and it's a super plot important game.
I already know some
game.
People who've already beaten it.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I just have to say, honestly, it's kind of crazy to me that we're in March of 2013, and I've already played like 4 Game of the Year quality games. In any other year in the last decade, any of the 4 big games I played this year so far could have been Game of the Year. And of those games, I think BioShock Infinite is probably the king of the hill currently.
It's so good.
It is
beautiful.
It is one of the prettiest games I've ever played. I'm playing it on PC.
Same here.
Cranked up my graphics card, and it's gorgeous. It sings in every way. It's one of the first games in a long time where I felt the compulsive need to explore every corner
yes.
and every inch of every area.
Just such a beautifully built world.
All of the music, the writing, the ideas, and like fucking, this is like art is happening. They are communicating ideas and making points and having valid things to say and communicate.
I think people are going to be talking about BioShock Infinite for a long time to come. I know we'll definitely be revisiting it.
We will. We're probably going to come back to BioShock Infinite a month or two from now when sort of the spoiler memorandum is up.
Yeah.
Memorandum. That's not the word I was looking for.
Just go with it.
Yeah, let's go with it. I can't remember. It's late. We're recording this. It's like 11:30 already. So
yeah.
But we're gonna be revisiting this for sure. So, please look forward to it. And what have you been playing?
I already talked about both of those games you were playing. I've played too. I've actually had a very busy gaming week. Earlier in the week. And I mean, I say week, but, you know, it's been since we've recorded last. But I downloaded Rock Band Blitz. I really like it. You know, I think it's really interesting to see how Harmonix kind of went back to their roots, but also it feels very fresh. I would love to see more from them like that. I enjoy it a lot. I've also been playing Harmonite, which just finally came out for reals. The demo had been up for a while, and now it's out, and it's pretty cute. It's actually very cute. And it's pretty demanding. I mean, it's a Japanese rhythm game, so of course it's demanding, but, you know, it's definitely worth the $14.99. I mean, it's really fun, and I would describe it as a cross between... And I mean, this is very... On a very surface level, it reminds me in some ways of the rhythm platforming of Bit Trip Runner, but I mean, obviously a little bit more
Playing the demo, I was reminded of Vib Ribbon for the PS1.
Okay. And, you know, a little bit of elements of something like Space Channel 5, like left, right, choo, 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 except not with choos.
Yeah, yeah. I like the demo a lot. I haven't gotten the full game yet because I've been so busy... with Monster Hunter, of course, but
yeah,
but I will definitely be getting it as soon as I'm done with Monster Hunter, or just need a break from Monster Hunter.
And last but not least, one that I'm very surprised that I've spent quite a bit of time with is GameBuoy title Kersploosh. It's only $2.99 on the eShop, so I happen to have some extra money in my wallet on Kersploosh. The eShop. And I got Kersploosh, and it's actually really kind of weird and silly. Like, each of the items that you throw down the well has a story. Like, the first item you have is a rubber bouncy ball, and this lady's like, brings joy to all the family. Ha, huh, what a crock. She's like, this ruined my life. My husband left me. She's like, I'm getting rid of this rubber ball. Good riddance. I'm throwing it down this well. And then when you throw the ball down the well, like, you have to guide it with the analog stick, and like, you have to like try and get it to go through donuts that are just floating in there.
What?
And the donuts give you a speed boost.
What?
And then there's also, because like the rubber bouncy ball is kind of meant as like the tutorial ball. Like, most of the other ones have hit points for the item that you're throwing.
Do they have MP?
They don't have magic points. Maybe Chris Bluch too will have some magic items, but
this is a magic ball that casts fire.
Like, the first one, the first ball is pretty basic, you know, it has just like obstacles to avoid, and then but then there's some that have like fiery chasms in the well. There's some with like spinning like pizza things. It's really weird, but I actually really like it. I mean, I definitely feel it's worth the $3 I spent on it. So, I think that if you're looking for something just silly, I mean, it's something that you could play for like 5-10 minutes if you just have some downtime. And it's strangely addictive. But it can also be very peaceful if you just, you don't choose one of the ones, because there's a lot of actually skill involved. There's one item I unlocked, which was like some sort of like substance, like some sort of fragile chemical substance that had one hit point. So you basically have to be super good at it to not destroy it. And then there's like, you know, the interesting thing is that each of the items that are thrown down the well control differently. So, I mean, like, I'm surprised that a game like Chris Bluch like has the thought they put into the physics of it, of what goes down the well. So, really cool. I love to see indie games being kind of fun and irreverent and, you know, just really kind of thinking outside of the box.
You know, I have to say, I downloaded Chris Bluch, but I haven't gotten to it because of Monster Hunter.
I'm going to make you play Chris Bluch after we're done recording.
Like, I might actually play it, like, right as soon as we're done with this.
Yeah. I think you need to play it. I think you'll have a blast.
Excellent.
It'll really make a splash. So that's been my what's up for the week.
All right. Well, I think it might be time to move on to our next segment. Smash or trash. We're going to keep this real quick today. For our smash, that is to say, an article that basically does what we would like to see in games journalism, we have Silicon Era's, I guess, review on the Darkstalkers Resurrection downloadable pack of the two good Darkstalkers games.
Wait, did that hit already?
Yeah, that's out.
Oh,
you can download
snap.
It. And this is basically a review that goes over why these arcade perfect ports with tons of extras and customizable options, like why these are important. So it talks about the game and the quality of it as a port and what it contains. And it also talks about sort of what's not there and why it's important to have releases like this.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of this kind of review. There's no grade or number associated, just like a text review of why it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like.
One thing I noticed is that over at Silicon Era, they're usually, the things that we share from them are shorter little blurbs, which is not bad. But this is a pretty, it's not like a huge review, but I mean, for Silicon Era, it's a meatier piece.
Yeah, I like Silicon Era a lot because I feel like they primarily focus on the kinds of games that I like to play.
Yeah, you might notice that we here at GameBuoy often refer to Silicon Era.
As
Silicon Era.
I made that mistake, and it was completely unintentional, and now I laugh every time I think about it.
Honestly, I've seen Silicon Era more often than you are now, so.
Yeah, well, oops. I mean, you brought attention to it, and now I've sort of phased out of doing it.
And now I accidentally derp it up and say it.
Derp, derp.
Speaking of derping it up.
Speaking of derping it up.
guess who's back with some more Final Fantasy smartphone price QQ? If you guess Kotaku, you're absolutely right.
$19 in Japan.
And
$19 in Japan.
I mean, it's, the thing is that it's not really much like
$19
in
Japan.
But it's
literally every paragraph has a mention of it being $19 in Japan.
Yeah, it's priced at 1,800 yen or close to the U.S. 19. That's a lot. Then the next paragraph ends with, "All that costs $19, huh?"
Yep, so and it's there in the headline.
Bashcraft being a little bit like. I don't know if he's trying to.
I have to say, in that author photo of him right there, I love that jacket he's wearing. Ashcraft, you have great taste in clothes.
Just not great taste in your opinion of microtransactions for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, no, I'm not really here for the QQ about the price of Final Fantasy. Again, you know, they redid assets. The game look in some ways looks better
speaking
than it's ever looked before.
Speaking of redone assets,
if you're here for, you know, a great game on iOS, there it is. If it's too much money for you, I guess have fun with your Angry Birds.
Yeah,
or
you
free
can either
to play.
You can either have fun with butts or have fun with your butt. Actually,
you should feel you Slidekick should feel guilty for what you just said.
Yeah, because especially because it made people have the choice between playing with their butt or playing with Final Fantasy V.
That was bad. That was bad.
So, you know, speaking of redone assets, Kotaku redid their site, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't really care at all.
They're like, oh, it's more user-friendly and helps you catch up on your stories you wanted to read. I'm like, I just don't care for it. And I'm not trying to be rude. It just doesn't work for me. Also, interestingly, they're going to be like moderating comments in some way, which is good/bad. I don't know
how
I feel.
It's, you know, I think comment moderation is a good thing. You look at the Miiverse. Like, Miiverse would not be nearly as incredible over on Wii U as it is if not for its moderation.
So I guess
sometimes it's a little heavy-handed, but it definitely is a healthier community than most.
Gotta give a little credit to Kotaku. They're trying to be less Kotaku.
Yep, definite credit to them. I still don't really care for articles like $19, $19, $19, $19.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. But I do appreciate that you guys are trying to get it together, and I definitely try to pick on you less than I used to, and I'm going to continue trying, as long as you guys continue trying.
Yep.
With that, I'd like to segue into a little thing we don't usually do. I want to talk real quick with you, Mr. Slagkick.
Oh?
Do you have a Game Buoy memory?
Hashtag Game Buoy memories.
And those of you out there listening to this, please tweet at us or just tweet with the hashtag Game Buoy memories.
I can't believe we're at a year already.
We have been around for a year.
I'm giving Captain Spike an air hug. This makes me feel very proud. I have lots of Game Buoy memories. I mean, some of the Game Buoy memories are just like the last we've had off air, like that got cut out of the actual show because, you know, just the pre-show chatter. But I think of a specific Game Buoy memory that the listeners also would have heard is the one time when we ran into technical issues right in the middle of our Lol Taku of the week. And we had already been talking about revisiting that. And as you know, that segment lives on today in our Smash or Trash. But at the time, we were trying to think about how to retool it, and that's when we did the read of the week and such. But at that point, we were like, you know, we're just going to go ahead and retool it now. So what we did is we killed off the Lol Taku kids in a car crash. And instead of hearing the classic Game Buoy theme as the outro, it was a funeral dirge. It was really dark. But I was listening back to the Game Buoy archives a couple weeks back. I happened to listen to the episode and I...
Masturbatory. Continue.
And I just was cracking up at the... how messed up that was that we killed off the Lol Taku kids. And I mean, the Lol Taku kids really were kind of a fun meme that we had running for a while. We used to do like, oh, here they come in. Okay, kids, now get out. So that was a silly Game Buoy memory of mine. How about you?
You know, I think my biggest memory was after we did episode 9, our Final Fantasy episode. Multiple people reached out to me asking me what the best ways to play a couple of these games were. Specifically, several people asked me about 5 and 3.
Oh.
And I guess, you know, it turns out that based on talking about these games, people wanted to play them.
That's great. That's what we try to do here.
And that, for me, was a complete and total validation of us getting out on internet radio and talking about some of these games that, like, either everyone who likes Final Fantasy, like, it's just kind of assumed you already know what games you like. But to me, if you just explain to people why some of these earlier games were so incredible, people get it and want to play them. So to me, just that's the value of having an actual conversation and dialogue, which is what we try to bring here to the table at GameBuoy.org. So
GameBuoy.org.
I guess you could say that my favorite GameBuoy memory was the first time someone really reached out to me and indicated that our podcast had given them thought and made them want to play something that they hadn't played previously.
Aww.
Yeah, and also meeting a lot of really cool podcasters out there. That might be that's one of my favorite things too.
See, I was taking it to a negative place. I thought you were going to say when people listen to our Final Fantasy episode and were like, "Dude, what's up with your sound quality?"
No. Although that was the episode where it became very clear to me that we needed to get that in order because people were telling me like, "I loved this episode, but at times it was inintelligible."
Are you recording it in the bathroom?
Yeah. Right. So, but you know, we've worked on it. For several episodes, we were asking for your feedback on the quality of our sound. Supposedly, it's better now. Fingers crossed, I hope that that's the case. I think at this point, I'm going to do my shout-outs, and then we will pick up our last few bits. But I just feel like it's appropriate to say some of my best GameBuoy memories have been meeting, like, talking to the guys over at Koopa Club. You know, obviously having podcast talk with the folks over at Orange Lounge Radio, starting a new podcast with Rob Roberts of Orange Lounge Radio, Reading is Fundamental. Of course, Slagkick always talks about the Nerdgasm Network.
Yes, I've guessed it a couple times.
If you want to take the rest of these, of course, you know, I was just tying it in because I was talking about how special it's been to work with these really cool people. Not work, but, you know, have tweets back with them and friend them on, you know, Wii U and Xbox and stuff. It's just been a lot of fun. It's been a very positive thing for me, and I'm really, really happy and super looking forward to another year of this.
Yeah, and these two World of Warcraft podcasts that we always shout out to, I haven't really talked about this a lot, but Best Little Horde House in Azeroth was the first podcast that I was ever a guest on.
Oh, wow. We have them to thank for getting you to this point.
Hopefully to thank and not to blame. And then Girls Gone Wow, one of their lovely hosts, Syl, was the first guest, and I think actually the only guest I had on my short-lived World of Warcraft podcast, Fabulous Flames, which was kind of around the same time as the beginning of GameBuoy, but GameBuoy just kind of ended up sailing past it.
Yep. If you want to take your last shout out while we're at it.
Yeah, we love Video Game Outsiders, and, you know, they're video gaming from the average player's perspective.
We did have a little bit of feedback this week. Listener Crystal.
Oh, I have a GameBuoy memory.
Oh, okay.
Is
it going to be what happened yesterday?
Well, no, but I'm going to share that. But
it should be.
No, my GameBuoy memory is when we first decided on our new opening theme from Zelda Reorchestrated.
Oh, well
listening
played.
Listening back, I'm like, oh, wow. I just feel like it's so much such a more uplifting melody than the Dragon Roost title.
I dig it. I really do.
So go support Zelda Reorchestrated. Now, we have half feedback, half GameBuoy memory that just happened yesterday. We were out buying some supplies for the SS GameBuoy yesterday.
Toilet paper and beanbag chairs.
And, like, ice cream. And anyway, so we were at Walmart, and we saw GameBuoy listener and superfan Crystal. who is often shouted out to us and big supporter from day one, really.
We are super thankful for her. She's incredible.
So now, about a week ago, she had tweeted me and said, "Hey, watch who you're calling old, young man. You'll get there someday, too." She's the same age as Captain Spike, who I, of course, said that Captain Spike was about, like, 50, because it was in reference to when you were talking about the guy who called Pikachu, and that you're like, "Yeah, but Pokemon wasn't that big." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, because you're, like, 50 years old." So she had tweeted that, and then we saw her yesterday, and she was like, "Oh, by the way, you deserved that slap." If you don't know what we're talking about, I just have to say, since Easter just happened, speaking of Easter eggs, Game Buoy episodes, since I don't know what episode we started doing it, that's a Game Buoy memory, is that we've been including Easter eggs at the end of every episode, so...
Man, I never wanted to make that explicit. Now we're going to be on the spot to do good ones. Oh, well, whatever. We're not going to try. We've spent a year not trying. We're not going to start now.
So, in the last episode, Captain Spike, remember when he said he was going to slap me if I didn't wrap up in 10 minutes?
Well, I effing slapped him because he did not wrap up, and it was 15 minutes.
It hurt.
Either way, the point was I slapped him. And Crystal agreed with me that he deserved it, so win for me. Hashtag Game Buoy memories.
Hashtag Game Buoy memories.
At this time, of course, I implore you, we live for your feedback.
We love your feedback.
As you can tell, we get a lot of mileage out of it. We'd also like your iTunes subscriptions and ratings and reviews. In addition, we'd like your Facebook likes. And please, please, please interact with us on effing Twitter, because we effing love Twitter.
Would you like me to
We're also on Tumblr and Google+. And you can email us, the addresses of which you can all find over on our home base at GameBuoy.org.
There you go. Saving me from having to read that Google+ URL.
Yeah, I really wanted to make you do it again, but it would be mean.
Nope.
All right. Well, I think with that, we're just about ready. Actually, that reminds me, I forgot. We only did 9 April Fool's jokes earlier.
Oh, yeah, and this was supposed to be our top 10.
So, Game Buoy's 10th favorite April Fool's joke in the history of games journalism would be... in a somewhat very masturbatory fashion, GameBuoy.org 2013's Tinglecast. Hopefully you've listened to it by now. If you haven't, please do... we tried our very best to do a real episode on Tingle for you folks, but also, Tingle.
At this point, you probably realize, if you did listen to it, we made multiple references to it replacing Game Buoy. We are not replacing Game Buoy.
No, we're not replacing Game Buoy with Tinglecast. That was a one shot. You did effectively get 2 episodes in 1 week, though, because we really did try to do that like a real episode. So I hope you enjoyed it. I really hope you got something out of it. Freshly picked Tingle's Rosie Rupee Land is actually an incredible game with really innovative game design and beautiful art. I was not being facetious at all.
And we hope you enjoyed Great Fairy Spike's Tiny Tingle Town.
Yeah, if you haven't checked that out yet, you have to.
Yeah. So with that...
With that in mind, I think it's time, boys and ghouls. Keep gaming, keep thinking... And I'll see you, cowgirl, someday, somewhere. Thank you. Ben is working hard.
Work hard for the money. Works hard for the money. Works hard for the money, and the money's working hard.
Girl.
Onna wa tokidoki ni okane shimasu yo.